did, and then I talked to Margaret Zucker today.
Meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will please come to order. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the public notice on March 14, 2012. May we please have the roll call?
Ms. Kresty?
Yes.
Mr. Frieda?
Present.
Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Mr. Kaplan?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Here.
Ms. McLaughlin?
Here.
Mr. Sturgis?
Here.
Ms. Sullivan?
Here.
Mr. Dinkhoff?
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. I'd like to ask everybody to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is a special meeting of the Board of Education. We have one item on the agenda, which is the school budget. So we will have there will be an opportunity for members of the board to ask questions of our superintendent, of our interim business administrator, of members of the finance committee. After board members have had an opportunity to ask questions, we'll open it up to the public. Since it's the only item on the agenda, we will not have the three-minute board president imposed time on any individual who might get up to the mic. And after the public has had an opportunity to ask questions or make comments on the budget, we'll turn it back over to the board if there are any additional questions or concerns that need to be raised. We will not be going into executive session. We do have a regular Board of Education meeting scheduled for this coming Monday, the 26th, that'll be here, at which time I hope we will formally adopt the school budget, which will be presented again to the county superintendent of schools. And that should do it. Just a reminder that if that budget is at 2% or less, it will not be voted upon by members of the public. Okay? So, I would like to thank our superintendent, along with the interim business administrator, for all the hard work they've put in over the last few weeks, and in particular, the members of the finance committee. I know that you've met on a couple of occasions and have spent many hours going over the budget, making some adjustments, discussing various things that should be included in the 2012-2000 budget. So on behalf of the entire board, I'd like to thank you for the time and the effort that you've put in. In addition to the members of the Finance Committee, just being able to read the emails going back and forth between the superintendent and our business administrator and other board members who are not part of the Finance Committee, it's heartening to see the time that was spent by board members examining the line item budget. And I thank you for your consciousness and diligence in looking over the budget and trying to help us come up with the best possible budget, not only for the children of Clinton Township, but also for the taxpayers, taking that into consideration. One last thank you I'd like to put out there would be to the district administrators. I can't forget you guys for all the work you did starting last fall and suggesting to our superintendent and business administrator the programs and the materials that we needed to include in the budget. So thank you for all the work that you did in helping us prepare. The first item I would like to talk about concerning the current budget relates to an article that was in the Hunterdon Democrat today. As a matter of fact, it was a first page article. It talked about a 20% increase in the per pupil cost in the proposed budget as compared to the per pupil cost 3 years ago. It's my understanding that the information, or at least part of the information that was in that article, is not correct. And I think it's our responsibility at this point in time to share with the other board members and any members of the public that are here what we believe are the correct per pupil cost. So I think when you see a headline on the front page of the local paper indicating that per pupil costs are going up 20%, it's almost like a scare tactic to members of the community. So again, I would like to call on our interim business administrator and possibly members of the finance committee to help all board members as well as community members understand the per pupil cost and maybe why there's a misunderstanding about the percentage of increase in per pupil cost. So if we could start from there, and then we'll open it up to any questions that board members have.
As Mr. Dinkoff indicated, I think it's important that we clarify the issue that was reported in the newspaper, because it did not reflect the budget as the board finalized it and is being presented tonight and will be presented on Monday night. Unfortunately, when we initially submitted the budget to the county superintendent, we did not include our choice students nor the students received from Lebanon Township, Lebanon Borough, for next year. And as a result of that, the figure in the original budget submitted to the county superintendent was a little bit over 1,500 students, whereas our estimated, based on the revised figure, is going to be 1,652 students. The per pupil cost is a very simple allocation, is a certain very simple calculation. You simply take the total cost, you divide it by the number of students, and you come up with a per pupil cost. The problem with that is, although it is one of the indicators that the board and the public should be looking at, what they also have to take into consideration is the fact that over the last 3 years, our enrollment has continued to decline. So as your enrollment continues to decline, if the budget goes up, or even if the budget stayed the same as it was in 2009-10, the cost per pupil would actually go up. Based on the new numbers, our 2009-10 cost per pupil was $12,393. And if our enrollment hits 1,652 students, we're projecting a cost per pupil of $14,043. So it isn't a 20% increase, it'll be about a 13% increase. I did discuss this with a reporter from the newspaper, and I had indicated that our enrollment figures had been sent in incorrectly. If you took a look at our user-friendly budget that is now on the website, it has been adjusted, and all of the costs have been adjusted to reflect it. As I said before, the other important factor that I think the public and the board should be looking at is how much the budget has actually gone up over the last 3 years. And if you compare the budget from 2009-10 to the budget of 2012-13, you will see that the total increase is only 7%, which kind of indicates that over the last 3 years, on average, the budget's gone up only a little bit more than 2% a year. That's at a time when costs such as health benefits, salaries, and other things that are fixed costs in the district unfortunately continue to rise at higher than 2%. The way we're able to do that is to reduce other costs. So again, rather than just focusing on one item, per pupil cost, I think it would have been helpful if the newspaper had reported on other items within the budget. I didn't see anything in the article that reflected that taxes are going down over the 11-12 budget. So those are the kinds of things that it's important that the public be aware of, and I would hope that the newspaper reports those kinds of items and not just focus on one cost item. And by the way, that cost item has been amended and will now reflect a much lower figure than they refer to. So certainly, if the board members have any questions about the calculation or anything I said, I'll be happy to discuss it with them.
Quick question.
Oops, go ahead, Mark.
Was there any reason why we didn't put the correct count in the initial? I mean, if we knew the count, why did we not put it in during the tentative budget?
Part of it was just confusion on my part when we put together the figures. I wasn't clear on what the choice numbers would be. But again, even the posting of the user-friendly budget, we do not have to post the user-friendly budget until 48 hours after the public hearing. We put it out on our website so that we could begin to roll out information to the public, and it was a work in progress. And as the board members, particularly those on the Finance Committee, are aware, we've been making changes over the last month. So again, to focus on something that was an initial report or a work in progress is somewhat unfair, I think, to the community and to the Board of Education.
Thank you.
Mr. Delsorti, is the 13% increase representative of actual 11-12 to budgeted 12-13 or budgeted 11-12
The 13% increase is comparing 2009-10 to 2012-13.
So then it's not even an accurate representation of year over year?
That's correct. It's not a year over year. It's a total of a three-year increase, which is approximately a little over 13%.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Michelle.
Just so I understand, our enrollment, our projected enrollment for next year is 1,652 students, inclusive of Lebanon Borough and inclusive of choice.
Correct.
Thank you.
Any other questions on per pupil cost?
I have one.
Go ahead, Michelle.
Excuse me, Mr. Delsorti. Does this year's budgeted amount, does that include the same categories of expenses as we did in 2009-2010?
No, it does not. The governor chose in 2011-12 to change the cost of index that had been used for many years. Prior, the 2009-10 figures actually did not include the total budget. It tried to get more parity between districts, and it did not include certain items such as transportation or tuition costs, because there are districts that don't have transportation and tuition costs. So the figure was actually an unrealistic figure, and many people in the public would look at your total budget, divide by the number of students, and say, why are you reporting X when in reality it's Y? The governor recognized that as a problem, so now he includes all the costs within the budget. So even the comparison of the 12-13 budget to the 9-10 budget is not an accurate reflection of the same formula that was used.
So then what you're saying then, if I understand you correctly, the current total costs are more because we're including more categories than in 2009-2010.
That is correct.
So in conceivably, if you're using today's formula, the 2009-2010 per pupil cost would be higher. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So that 13% figure, it would actually be lower.
Yes.
If
we were able to compare apples to apples, it would be a lower figure.
Okay. So we would have probably a less than 2% increase over the course of 3 years.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, let's move on to any item on the agenda. Board members have had an opportunity to look at a line item breakdown. So if there are any questions or concerns about the budget, hopefully either Mr. Carroll, Mr. Desorti, or Mr. Kaplan will be able to answer them for us.
Mr. Dinkoff?
Yes.
Just before we discuss line items, I was wondering if it's possible for Mr. Carroll and Mr. Delsorti to sort of give us a 30 to 60 second macro overview of this budget relative to last year and some of the main items that I think merit mentioning. Perhaps for those folks who can't attend tonight and might be listening to this in advance of Monday or can't attend on Monday.
I can do that. Excellent idea. I'll call on Mr. Kaplan to do that for us.
Okay.
Mike, please speak into the mic.
Sure. Mark. Before I jump into that, is everybody familiar with the changes from the preliminary budget to today's budget, right? Everybody has seen that? School choice went down 50K. BSI was dropped to match. There was a reduction in equipment of 30K, and the tax levy was reduced 30K to match. That leaves our general fund tax levy down about 30K. Debt service is down approximately to 70K, and that together contributes to the total a little bit over $100,000 drop in the levy compared to last year. Okay, so those were the changes. I think since everybody's talking in the public about all of the new revenue and where did it all go, I think it would be helpful for us to go look at some of the sheets here and understand really where we are. So I'm holding the budget revenue sheet, okay, just so we understand what do we really have to spend. And I'm comparing, to be fair, I'm going to compare to the budgeted numbers of this year, okay, as opposed to the actual, which are the revised. We all know the revised are higher. It's not fair to compare to those. I'm looking at what came actually off of the web. You guys might have, yeah, that's it. Okay, so if we look at the budgeted number, which is important because that's what taxpayers actually voted on, we ended up spending more, admittedly. We spent more, but let's look at least at what was voted on. The difference between the budgeted number and the projected budget that we're putting in front of you right now is about $1.5 million in increased revenue. Am I correct, Tony? Correct yes. me if I'm wrong. I'm rounding here to the nearest $100,000. Well, it's $100,000 among friends, but so that's close enough, okay? About $1.5 million. So for those of you who looked on the forum and other places, I saw figures from one to three and three-plus million dollars of extra money that we somehow had. Well, the figure is right in front of you. It's $1.5 million. Now, of that, about 1.3 is school choice money. Everything gets lumped under what they call state aid, but some of the categories went away. Even though we had some increases, ARRA funds and other things all disappeared. So that's all on the negative side. But net-net, when we include everything, we're up about $1.5 million. Okay. So now let's go to the proposed budget sheet, the one that says proposed budget. Again, that's the one off the website. If you have the full budget, I think there's something equivalent. So I think the next question that everybody is asking is, where did the money go? We have $1.5 million of extra revenue. People are saying we're just peeing it all away, we're wasting it, et cetera, et cetera. Let's understand where the money is going, and then we can have a discussion about, you know, whether we think these are good appropriations or not. So let's start with general education salaries. The increment or decrease you see here is just from the revised budget. But again, let's be fair. Let's go back to the original budget that people voted on. So that's an increase right there of 630K. Now, what's included there? Well, last year we budgeted some money for salaries, but we ended up settling a contract for more. So we have teacher salaries increased from last year. That was it 3.5, I think, right? 3.5 last year. Then we have another 3% this year. So remember, the base is already 3.5% higher, and then we add another 3%. And we have a few additional staff members, as you all know. I guess Kevin or Tony afterwards can go and summarize the additional staff members. But if you just do out the math here, you'll see that quite a bit of this 630K comes directly from contractual obligations. This is our settled contract, plus a few additional staff members. General education below is all of the supplies. That's what, textbooks, curriculum materials, I think, correct, is all in there. We did add some curricula, as you know.
Copiers. Software licensing.
Right. Basically all of the other classroom stuff other than the teacher salaries and benefits. That is up from the voted on budget last year by 250K. Now, again, whether we agree or disagree with the spending, I want to at least make it clear where the spending is so far. This is all in the classroom. None of this is admin. None of it's tech. This is teachers. This is textbooks. This is curricula. So this is all increased spending in the classroom. Now, the other big place where a lot of the money is going is into special education. Resource center, 300K, autism, 70K, basic skills, instruction. Okay, those are new staff for basic skills. That's not special education. That's up 130K. We're all aware of that we added some staff there this year. Going further down, I'm only picking out the big ticket items here. Speech, et cetera, is up a little bit. Extraordinary services, 75K. Guidance, 70K. Child study team, 80K. Okay, so there's a big hunk right there into special education.
Mr. Kaplan?
Yeah.
Can I ask a, sorry to interrupt, can I ask a question? Just for clarification for those in attendance and those listening at home, when we talk about some of these increased items, correct me if I'm wrong, but general education salaries does not reflect necessarily the salaries of resource center, special ed,
no,
child study
it's
team.
Only
there are
it's
salaries
only
built into these line items as well.
Yes. In fact, that is about, if I remember correctly, the $6 million you see in general ed is approximately half of our total salaries. Is that right? I think we have about $12 to $13 million in total staff salaries. That's only half of it. And all of, and that's a good point, because all of those other staff members also are part of the union, and they all get the same raise. So some of the increases here are due to increases in salary. Some are, of course, due to increased staff, due to special education needs, which, as we know, is driven by, you know, individual child needs. It's not a discretionary expense. When a child has a IEP, they have to be assigned whatever resources they need. So some of that goes up there. Staff training up 70K. The rest is small potatoes. Transportation up a little. Employee benefits is down 300K. Remember, we moved into the state health plan this year, so that saved the 300K. And the bottom line is, if we sum up that column and compare it to the original budget, well, guess what? You'll come up with, you better come up with exactly the $1.5 million in increased revenue. As you know, there's no way to budget for a rainy day in a budget here. Every dollar of revenue has to actually be accounted for as an expense. Revenue cannot exceed expenses. That's the way we have to budget for school. So you can't have an excess kitty fund somewhere. Every dollar is accounted for. So basically, that's where the $1.5 million is going. And now, again, we can now debate whether we like it or not, but I just want to make it clear where the money's going. Basically, special needs, children with special needs, and some teacher training, and the rest is all in the classroom. Teachers, salaries, textbooks, curricula. If you look at admin, you'll know admin is not up a dollar. Tech spending is not up. None of the classic whipping boy expenses, if you will, are up, okay? None of those are up at all. It's all in the classroom. So that's where we are. And any questions?
Quick question. Was this, I think the answer was given before, was this budget done zero-based?
Based on the first year that I arrived here, 2009, 2010, that was the original zero-based budget, and that's what my administrators and I have been working on since. So that first year was a 4.2 reduction in the operating costs, which amounted to over $1 million. And we've continued from there with the input from teachers and staff. The principals and directors meet with the business administrator and I and go over what their needs are, and seeing where we're going in the coming years based on staffing plans and so on, we see where we want to invest. So that was our initial year of zero-based budget.
Why wouldn't it continue to be done this, like, why wouldn't you do?
Because I didn't change any staff in the way of administrators as they're coming forward, except for the middle school. And that's one that I went over with the principal there, but everyone else is in place. So it's not, a zero-based technique is not something that you have to do every year, especially when you have a baseline like we did with an operating cost cut by over $1 million. You're not gonna find another $1 million. So what you do instead is see where you reinvest or repurpose your resources. So it wasn't done last year, it wasn't done this year. We did it our initial year and been building our budget from that foundation ever since.
Okay.
Something else I guess we should mention is maintenance accounts and the situation there. As you know, we have some reserve accounts where we park money for maintenance, capital improvements, and so forth. We have about $550,000 is in the maintenance or the capital reserve account. We build up those accounts every year from surplus. As you know, we generally run a surplus. We budget conservatively. We budget as close as we can. Generally, we underspend slightly. Typically, if you look over the last few years, it runs typically about $500,000 on our $25, $26 million operating budget of surplus. What happens during the year is around now, the BA makes a decision to appropriate some of that as revenue into the following year to reduce the tax levy, but not all of it. Some of it is left when the year ends and at the end of June. And then one of two things happens. Some of that money gets put into capital reserve or other reserve accounts. Anything that's left over after that by law rolls into the following year, not the current year, because it's too late. You've already submitted the budget, so it skips 1 year and it becomes revenue into the year following. So we build up those accounts. Now we have $550,000 in our capital reserve account. As you probably are aware, we're about to put a roof on Spruce Run to the tune of about $550,000. So the district will face some issues going forward, something to keep in mind. We will basically deplete that account completely. It'll have virtually nothing left in it. And we are going to have to put money back in that account one way or another. So as we look at the budget and we're slimming down, it's tempting to make sure we end with not a dollar of surplus, though I don't know how to predict things that well that we could ever do that. But even if we wanted to, we do need to generate some surplus. We have a responsibility to maintain the buildings. And basically, we're going to be out of cash there. I guess in theory, you can take money out of operating expenses to put into capital. But either way, it has to come out of surplus money. It's not budgeted. So should we have another roof or some other issue to deal with, we will have to fund that somehow.
And you know, given that some of the information that Mr. Del Sordi has shared with the Facilities and Finance Committee, and following the same thing that started when I arrived in 2009, there were $50,000 in that account,
right.
And in less than 2 years, we got it up to $550,000. Not having to go out to referendum and get that work done, but Mr. Del Sordi had shared how that will continue to be as we look at not appropriating so much money in surplus to offset the next year's budget, but how you really create that maintenance reserve, capital reserve every year, so you don't have to go back out for referendum.
Right.
Mr. Carroll, can I ask a question regarding some of the increases related to policy, curriculum, training, and equipment? It appears that there's some fairly material increases in professional training and textbooks. I just think that we'd all benefit from a deeper explanation of those increased budgeted items.
All right. If I can just bring up my list here, sir.
Certainly.
So where we're seeing those investments in curriculum instruction, with the work done by our preschool teachers and their principal, Mrs. Goad, and Ms. Philippe, our director of curriculum instruction, they looked at our current curriculum resources and saw that it was not up to the level of where we want our students to be in the classroom. So through extensive research and some piloting, we are looking to purchase a new preschool curriculum. As well, we're looking at added materials to first through third grade in science. We are finishing up third through fifth grade curriculum writing for math, and that goes right after K to two. So we are definitely looking at K-5 math resources, either to upgrade what we already have or bring in something new, which is a process that Ms. Philippe has already started. We have materials coming in for our language arts literacy, K to eight, fifth grade social studies textbooks, sixth grade nonfiction materials in social studies and science. And to support that and to support our curriculum, we have stipends available for our teachers to continue as curriculum chairs as per our contract and to do curriculum writing for us. Really, our curriculum should be a kind of a living, breathing document, and with the Rubicon Atlas that Ms. Philippe brought in, it is just that. Not only do teachers have access to what they're doing at grade level, they have access to what everyone else is doing. And that's gonna keep us constantly evaluating and possibly changing what we do, not only in the classroom, but the resources that we have. The other part of that, to expand upon some of our children's needs in and out of the classroom, we're looking to make sure that we have a continuum of literacy support, which we do have very well from K to four, only part-time in fifth grade. We want to extend that all the way to eighth grade.
Great.
So those are the areas when we think of investments in curriculum instruction.
Okay, and these investments were made not only in conjunction with Ms. Philippe and the curriculum committee, but also the policy and curriculum committee of the board and the other teachers and administrators, just to be clear, correct?
As well as the teachers, yes, sir.
Great. Thank you very much.
Kevin, just additional detail to what Kevin Carroll had pointed out. Within the proposed budget for curriculum purchases, there's also language arts program for sixth grade, professional development for the high school to go along with the high school curriculum purchase. And then general professional development, which is something that we had not budgeted sufficiently in the past. So we felt there was a need to put more money into the budget for PD, and it's included in the recommendation by the committee.
I think it's a great point to bring up, that this is something that we're budgeting adequately for this year, whereas it was an extra budgetary item last year. We would always recognize the need, but at this point, I think we're responsibly accounting for it in the beginning of the budget year. Correct?
I agree, Mr. Malloy. Thank you.
Thank you.
The only other thing I would point out with regard to the recommendations that we're making on the curriculum budget is we're also paying attention to our ASC scores and to the feedback from our school leaders and our director of curriculum and our superintendent. We saw some trends that we didn't like, and we're trying to address them with PD, curriculum purchases, resource materials. So we're listening, and we're recommending the spending where we think it's necessary to address those problems.
And a big part of that, Mr. Sturgis, as we've talked about at length in policy and curriculum, is that the resources need to be accessible not only in the classroom but out of the classroom. So that is something we are definitely having our teachers, our curriculum chairs, principals, and directors focused on.
Any other questions on the budget? For Mark, for Kevin, for Tony?
Kevin, I have a question. I saw, on the line item budget, $190K in the category for technology. Can you break down those expenses, please, for me?
What line are you at?
No, I'm sorry, I don't have the computer with me. I had just written down, I think the figure was $190K for technology.
Which? Where it is?
This was on the CTMS upgrades. Correct, Ms. Grant?
Capital?
CTMS wireless upgrades.
I think it was, CTMS.
Supplies.
I'm sorry, I should have brought the printout.
It was 92.
How much is it, 190?
Referring to the teacher laptops, 140 laptops, it's about $158,200.
And I think there was something connected with that, with wireless as well.
Yes, under capital outlay, there is also some money that was reduced, but there is some money under capital outlay, which will be used to for tech upgrades, either district-wide. We're not really sure what we're going to do with the $61,999. That was reduced $30,000 by the Finance Committee. And again, that's just part of our tech upgrades to make sure that we have sufficient internet services and things of that nature. So it hasn't been determined exactly what's going to be done, but that's where the money will go.
One of the things that we had to do this year, Maria, at the middle school, which is only 5 years old, was upgrade the wireless system. It could not keep up with the demand of the teachers and the students as they were looking to make connection to the internet. And the configuration of the district is such that the hub of our internet connection comes through Round Valley and then spokes out to the other three schools. And what we were finding was there, even though that was state of the art when this opened in 2007, could not keep up and was creating bottlenecks and lag time, which just wasn't fair to the students and teachers. So we were able to make an investment this year, and the tech department was able to work with a vendor to re-engineer and upgrade that. That same practice, we'd like to see about upgrading the other schools as well, but also have an eye to the way that we bring connectivity into the district, which right now, as I said, comes in Round Valley and then goes out. Is there a better way to do that? So that really becomes a foothold as we start to engage vendors in possible engineering, re-engineering of what we already have.
So if I understand correctly, we have a definitive issue here with bottlenecking of people coming on and off the internet and accessing, correct? Is that correct?
What was happening, they were connecting, but the speed was just nowhere slow. Near, right.
Okay, and then the additional money that you referred to is to then bring everybody else up to speed, but there isn't a bottleneck at the others as well?
Because, right, as we're moving towards utilizing the laptop carts, the iPad carts, those types of things, we're starting to see that same increase. But it's pockets around a school the size of Brown Valley compared to here. It might be because of the schedule, everyone is right next to each other. And now it's systematically being called out to draw upon other areas to say, all right, I have a lot of load here. I'm going to share out the need from that area because everyone in seventh grade is online now. So we're looking to do that same thing in the other areas, as well as have a place as we know technology changes, we can make those changes because we have, just as we talked about capital outlay for the roof, we have money available to make those changes.
If there isn't an absolute need immediately, very similar to what we have here at CTMS, is it possible that we could fund some of the co-curricular more than the 10 grand that's in the budget now? And I'm not suggesting that we, you know, fund it fully because we have a lot of academic needs here, you know. So I'm not saying that we should take away from the classroom. I've stated in previous board meetings that I truly believe that, you know, what we need to focus on is fix what's broken in the delivery of our education in the classroom. And I truly believe in all the benefits of co-curricular and sports. I'd love to fund it. But if we're taking care of the majority of what we need with this budget, is it possible that we could take some of this money from the technology section that isn't a direct need at the moment and fund more than $10,000 towards our co-curricular and our athletics?
I would go back to the administration with the help of Mr. Del Sordi to find where we would move that. If that's a direction the board would look to increase the board's responsibility towards the pay to participate. Right now it's 25% funded. They would like to move that up. That is something we would be able to do and bring it back to the board. Just to talk about one or the other, I would want to engage all the administrators first.
Can I just get the feedback of my fellow board members as to, do you feel if it's possible to move some of the funds into co-curricular so we could fund more than just the $16,000, Michelle, correct me, what we have, if that'd be something that people would consider? I mean, if we have our classroom needs, you know, for the moment taken care of, if there is an immediate need with some of this technology money.
Well, for my own personal opinion, Maria, and for those who don't know, the board has been getting a lot of well thought out feedback from the community on this issue. And if we're funding at 25%, and if there is, in fact, if there is some room within that number on technology and phone upgrades and things of that nature, so if we're funding at 25%, the annual pay to participate budget, Mr. Carroll, would be somewhere in the neighborhood of at 16 times four. Geez, don't make me do that.
It's 10.5.
Just under $65,000, $64,000. Yes. So if there, for my money, if there's a way to sort of help meet the people of Clinton Township halfway or part of the way on that, I'd put my hand up and vote in favor of it. If only because this budget primarily does several things. One, as Mr. Kaplan accurately stated, this money's going to the classroom. And as long as we are not affecting that money spent on students, on teacher development, I personally have a deep belief that extracurricular activities and extracurricular sports have a lot of value to the education of our kids, especially at the age groups we're talking about. For my own money, I grew up in a neighborhood. And growing up in a neighborhood meant that you could literally walk outside your front door after school and find 20 to 30 kids to play with on your street. Having lived here for about 8 years, that doesn't happen. Extracurricular activities and sports are sort of the replacement for the neighborhood, for my money, living here. A lot of interpersonal relationships are developed. A lot of leadership skills are developed. A lot of, quite frankly, learning through failure and lack of success is developed on that extracurricular stuff. So I would support you, Ms. Grant, on this. I'd leave it up to the board member, but you know, obviously I don't necessarily, I'll be very clear. I do not want to fully fund this at the expense of classroom dollars that I think must come first. You know, as Mr. Sturgis stated, we're looking at ask scores. That's very, very important. We're making sure that our dollars are spent on textbook and curriculum. That's very, very important. But if there is a way to sort of figure out how we can allocate some of these funds to meet this need, I'd be very supportive of that.
I agree with everything that Kevin said, so I'm not going to sit here and repeat everything that he said. But looking at the budget, I have received a lot of the feedback as well from the community, and it would be nice, I think, on the board's part, if we could show some good faith effort to restore at least some of what we've cut in the previous years. I'm wondering, actually, about the board travel budget line item, which says the proposed budget for this year is $2,500 for board travel expenses. Am I assuming that that's like to go to work, the convention and things of that nature?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I'm going to suggest that maybe that might be a way that we could add some money back into co-curricular. I know that I went to the workshop this year and I funded it myself. I'm going to a workshop tomorrow and funding it myself. I don't think it's a lot of money, but I think it shows good faith on the board's part to add some money back to a co-curricular. And $2,500 isn't a lot of money, but it might pay for one sport or one activity.
If we looked at increasing our funding percentage from 25% to 50%, we'd be looking to find another $17,000 in this budget. And a thousand here, a thousand there, I think we can get there.
There's other expenses too, I think, you know, like water, potentially for the board office, water. I mean, these little bits and pieces can add up so that we can, if we looked closely at little line items like that, that we look at the bill list every single month, I think we could find that amount of money and try to fund as much of this as possible.
Well, actually, again, you know where I stand on this. I would like to see this board fully fund the programs once again. So with that in mind, if you give me a percentage, and with Mr. Del Sordi and the administrators, we can find that and not affect the investments we currently have and we will be making in the classroom. If the board wants to say a percentage, right now it's 25, they want to make it 50, 75, 100, not 101.
Well, how much of that technology amount of money is?
It doesn't necessarily have to be out of technology.
No,
to
I'm
me,
just,
that yeah, supports right. the classroom as well, especially as we're moving towards that kind of a mobile access for our students. But we, as you pointed out, there's a few other areas that we could do that. But to you, Mrs. McLaughlin, it's bad enough you guys don't get paid for it. Now you have to pay to be on the board. That was very nice of you.
Jim, as a point of process here, if we're not taking any official action tonight, how would we go about gathering input without a voting on it or anything?
We're not going to take any formal action, but I think we could reach a consensus as a board. I would say, and I've also received those emails from members of the community, and along with Kevin, I'm all for supporting extracurricular activities to the tune of 100%. However, I think last school year we had it at 25%. I would suggest to the board right now that we take a straw vote on finding another 25%, so that we're talking about funding for next year, for the 12-13 school year, 50% of the after-school activities. And as we get into the 12-13 school year, if we find other areas in the budget where the new superintendent and the new business administrator and the finance committee feel that we can fund more than 50%, that's something that we keep in mind.
Can't change it in the middle of the year.
Pardon?
We can't change it in the middle of the year because people have already gone through the fall sports. People may not have gone for the sport because they didn't want to pay the fee. And then if in the middle of the year you increase the subsidy for the spring sports, it's unfair to people from the beginning of the year. I don't think you can do that. I think you need to set it for the year.
Yeah, I agree with what we went and had that conversation last year when we thought about changing the funding midstream.
Right, midstream. I think that's
fair. Whatever we decide tonight or in the next few days is what we go forward with for the year. I'm inclined to say, given the efficiencies that we have found, that we try to go for the 100%. My gut tells me, just from talking to folks around town, that there are kids out there who did not participate because of the fee. That was always my concern when we had to institute pay to play, that there was going to be some kid out there that didn't get to do the sport because their folks had to pay for it for whatever reason. So my inclination is that if we can find the total amount without impacting the classroom, that we go for the 100%. I think that it'll do a world of good for a lot of kids.
I don't think this is a monetary issue. I mean, I don't want to be flippant about money, but look, we're talking another $16,000 or another $40,000 on a $28 million budget. We generate $500,000 in surplus every year. We could take it out of another category today, and if we need more money, we have surplus, money will be moved around. We're not going to go bankrupt over the $40,000. It's a philosophical issue, not really a money issue. We made a decision that it wasn't fair to ask all taxpayers to pay for sports that are only enjoyed by a few children, including mine, by the way, so I write the checks every year. And I'm not pitching for it or against it, just that's the discussion I think we ought to have. Yeah. With all due respect, the $16,000, guys, is not the issue here.
Right.
I mean, this is peanuts, yeah. Really. Even if we go for the full thing, it's 40 grand. We can come up with the 40 grand and we'll survive. We just need to decide what philosophy is appropriate. Do we think it's appropriate or not to fund this and ask all taxpayers? Now, we've heard from a lot of people asking us to put it back in. I would caution us all to remember that the moment we do put it back in, we may hear from all of the other taxpayers who didn't want us to put it in. You always hear from the people who are unhappy with the current situation. I don't know what will happen if we put it back in. I'm afraid that we're going to get a flood of emails from irate people saying, I can't believe I'm back to paying for those 12 kids to play basketball.
Can I make a suggestion?
That's my concern.
Because I'm in agreement with funding it any way that we can.
Okay.
But I'm just wondering if maybe we should think about instituting a student participation fee for those people that participate.
Well, that's not 100% then. You're talking about subsidizing it at less than 100%.
You mean like a flat fee?
Like a flat fee, just like, you know, right. 20, I don't know, we'd have to research what it would be, $25, $50, but significantly lower than whatever they're paying now, mm-hmm. And maybe that might help
some,
those
many
people.
Many have suggested that. I know a lot of other districts do that. The
right.
The only problem with that is we have some clubs that have very small fees, like $20 or $30. And then, okay, my son played soccer, so that's like $300-something. So you can't charge a $100 flat fee.
Right.
When the kids are doing a $30 club.
Something nominal, but
okay.
I mean, I don't know what would be appropriate. I know in our district we have a flat fee.
And how much
is it?
I think it's $50, but I'd have to research
$50?
I'm initially against fully funding, but I am, like Michelle Sullivan says, I am open, I'll use the word open, to increasing the percentage amount to a reasonable and respectable compromise.
I'd like to point a few things from a budget perspective out to the board members. We have not budgeted significantly for any future environmental testing or environmental remediation. That's not in this budget. We haven't budgeted for any investment in energy upgrades as a result of the energy audit that we did last year. Nothing. We haven't budgeted for capital repairs to any of the schools. Like, something that comes to mind is the driveway at Patrick McGarren, that there's a puddle in front. There's nothing budgeted for that. Or for any security, you know, we talked about locks, you know, there's nothing in here for that. And the percentage of kids that are participating in these programs, by my math, is less than 7% of enrollment. So I'm not saying one way or the other, but I just wanted you to have those figures available before you find $60,000 to fund.
Right. That was the reason
not budgeted.
That was the real reason to go to pay-per-play several years ago, was the low participation rate and the feeling that all taxpayers, not even just taxpayers who don't have kids in the district, but taxpayers who do have kids in the district, 97% of those kids weren't playing sports. I don't know if it, 93%. I don't know if that's the right figure or not, but it was relatively low. We did count one year when Pat Lanhart was here 2 or 3 years back, just how many kids, and a lot of them play multiple sports. So the number of unique children playing sports, at least as I recall, was relatively low. But Again, right. I don't know what to do with it.
And as I recall, the genesis of the whole pay-to-play thing, it all came in very lean financial years.
That's also true.
And it became an issue. The only time it ever became an issue for us as a district was when we were, you know, to use a term, we were really up against it. And that's when it became, and even it just came to our attention.
Right.
Now, agreed, it's a small number of children. However, I do agree two things. Number one, the whole extracurricular activity, whether it's sports, drama, or whatever the event is, it's part of the package. It is part of the whole educational experience. Mm-hmm. So it's just as much a part of it. It's a part of it. Now, okay. Is it as much of a part of it as a reading and writing? Of course not. And that's why it came out of the budget back when, because it was, we saved a teacher, you know, we saved a teacher or two because we were able to do it. So now that there's a little bit more money, I think that we should try to put it back in. Now, to the point of being practical again, with the things that are not budgeted, what is that amount? Do we have a sort of a total of what those things are that Kevin just mentioned?
It's going to be in the six figures. Add it all up.
A six figure with a one in front of it, or a six figure with a two, three, four, or nine in front of it?
In the neighborhood of 250, just for those three
those
items.
Those things that you identified.
Just for point of discussion, those three
across
items.
The street.
Yeah, that doesn't.
The land across the street. Either.
Nothing for maintenance of that property.
Right.
You know,
the barn. Oh yeah, we forgot about the barn.
Michelle, I agree with you. One of the reasons, and I'm a fairly fiscally conservative guy. From those on the board who know me, I'm fairly new, so those in the public might know me. But to your point, extracurricular activities and sports to me are part of the educational experience. There's a lot to be learned from it. I gained it. I can't overlook that there's a lot of physical plant and capital outlay issues here that really need attention. Having said that, if we're talking about a figure of $16,000 in a $28 million budget, that, and I'll be clear here, if we go to 50%, I may only succeed in making 100% of the township mad, because 50% on each side of the issue will be upset. having said that, I personally would rather take a step towards those parents and those children with needs. And at the risk of putting myself out there to demonstrate that, if there's any potential way that the citizens of Clinton Township feel that there's a way to privately fund the difference, email me. I want to help. I'd be more than happy to engage
in that.
There's
a booster club. The booster club has been working fast
right.
and furiously.
And the booster club's been working hard, and it's a little tougher. I'm willing to put myself behind that. I've twisted a lot of arms in the private sector before, so... folks, if there's a way I can help, please ask me.
I just looked it up on the website just as a comparison, but they charge $25 for clubs and activities and $100 for sport.
Who's they?
Who?
Bridgewater. Just to give you an idea.
All right, so that's how they deal with the club versus
sport.
Sport issue. Well, we have to run the math.
And then that's
do we know
the only
how many kids?
Payment. Yes. And is that, Rachel, is that per club and per sport, or is that flat
fee?
There will
be an annual activity fee of $100 for each student who wishes to participate.
But we don't know the...
Kevin, do we have the current count of kids, unique
but if
kids
you
who play
do
sports?
A sport, it has a list.
No, I know
but
what
you
numbers
you
were referring to as far as people who are doing multiples.
I don't remember now the numbers because
we have total potential participants. I can get you that number.
You don't remember off the top of your head,
no,
roughly, even what it is.
You know, it goes back to what you said before, Mr. Kaplan. You know, philosophically, where does this board want to go?
Right.
You know, I was asked to address the needs of our students, and with the help of the administrators, we started at where we thought the children were in most need. So we expanded the inclusion program. We're looking to expand the basic skills program. We did that first step with the success down at Spruce Run and Patrick McGarren, and now to bring on additional places. You yourself, Mr. Kaplan, asked about enrichment. We are looking at some activities, but we are also trying to tie in other programs to go along with that. But I would think, you know, when you think about clubs and sports, that is a form of enrichment as well. And I agree with Mr. Malloy, it is the full package that you put out there. And it's not just the children who are participating, it's everyone else who is a part of that, you know, who gets to come and see the musical, who gets to see the work that the Garden Club does to participate in intramurals or cheer on their basketball team. You know, all that is part of the school. So I really think, going with what Mr. Malloy said, it should really be all or nothing. Keep it where it is or do it all.
And I know with the help of the administrators, we can figure out how to do that.
To be clear, Mr. Carroll, I said let's take a step, and I'm for the
50%.
You said 50%.
50% would be 100%. I'm extrapolating to say then it should be all or nothing. Keep it where it is, or just go ahead and do it. 100%.
Well, I'm saying we should. I want to take the 50%, make that step halfway, and then.
So you do help. Want to make them all angry.
That's right.
Okay.
I misunderstood.
And then
comes with the position.
What I was saying to the extra 50% is, if there are those out there in the booster club or the PTA, if they feel that I can offer some assistance, I'm volunteering it to fund that difference. But to your point, I happen to agree that clubs, sports, these are educational activities. There's athletics to them. There's a lot of different stuff, but they are in fact educational activities.
If we're going to simplify, I do kind of like the flat. The annual fee model is attractive. If nothing else, parents aren't sitting around waiting to know what the fee is for each sport and waiting for us to post it. Yeah. This is a real pain in the neck. It involves an awful lot of time from the administration, who have to sit and calculate all of these costs ahead of time per sport, and then at the end of the year they send checks back. I got a check last year for $6 or something from soccer. So somebody's wasting an awful lot of time doing all of that administrative stuff. If we're going to do a partial funding, I would suggest we try to go with the fee per year model. If nothing, it'll save us money and aggravation, and probably save aggravation of parents too.
But we can't take no action tonight. So we're having a lengthy conversation. But don't we have a meeting on Monday too?
Yeah, we have to.
We do, but we have to approve the budget then. Right. So we have to decide now what these guys are going to go do.
But,
right? They're going to have to go turn the numbers.
We
can't be playing.
Is there a definite timeline for that budget to be filed? I thought with the election law changing,
there's
not a definitive.
No, there is.
You still have to.
There is a definitive timeline for that budget to happen.
Yes, the public.
I thought with the law changed that that's not a concrete set date.
That's not true.
That's not true.
The public hearing cannot be held after the 30th of April.
30th of April?
Of March. I'm sorry.
And you have to advertise that meeting well in advance.
This is more than just 2 days.
Right.
I mean, that's too late to move it.
Does the current law, since what we used to do is we would have the public hearing and the board would vote on a budget and then it would go in front of the voters in April, which means the information wouldn't get to the county superintendent until early May, do any of those deadlines change now that one piece of that is out?
They haven't changed. Again, the public hearing, the last date for the public hearing is March 30th. And the board would have to adopt the budget by that point. But again, you know, I let me just point out, I think, as Mr. Dinkoff indicated, we need direction. This is not a $100,000 item. This is maybe a $16,000 item. The budget is a plan. You can move money around within that plan. So if this is the direction that the board would like the administration to look at, Monday night, you could just make a decision that you want to fund athletics at 50%, and we'll find a way between now and the end of this school year to move the money around and make sure we have the funds to do it.
The reason why.
You know, you don't have to pick exact items right now. You just have to give us, you know, your concept.
So that would give us between now and August to decide exactly how to do that, whether it's a 50-50 split, whether it's a flat fee, whatever the money would be in there, and we'd have several months to debate how to go about implementing it.
That's correct. The administration would know that they have to find $15,000 or $20,000 and divert those funds to athletics, and the board can have an opportunity to discuss exactly what you want to do.
Well, won't the amount be substantially different between a flat fee base as opposed to 50-50?
Well, that's right. What you'd have to do.
You don't know how much you're going to raise. Right.
If you were to go to a flat fee model, right now, just quick math, $64,000 total for pay to participate at 1,652 kids at 7% participation is about $552 per participant on an average. What you'd need to do is back through that number, make an educated estimate at increased participation on a flat fee basis, figure out what that participation is. Possibly I'd do it at varying levels, extrapolate, take that number, run the fees through it, and then figure out the delta for funding.
Look, it's not going to be that far off. Let's just assume 100 kids play sports at $100 each. That's $10,000. We're already pretty close to the 16 grand, to the additional 25%. I mean, it's how off can we be here?
Well, we're at total, if you take clubs and sports together, you're at 7%, you're at 116. If you go to a fee model, let's assume that there's increased participation. Push it up another 50%, or even just round it up to 150. That's $15,000.
So that's it. You've got the other 25.
Now the delta becomes just about three quarters of the number.
Right. So like I said, it's really not a big money issue. This will be close enough within a few thousand dollars. I think we should just decide philosophically what do we want to do over the summer.
Well, and we can also philosophically decide the fee. Maybe 100 isn't right for us. You know, Bridgewater is a much larger district. Maybe that number needs to go up a little bit. So.
Well, if you start getting past $100, I mean, like soccer, I think was three. Right. I mean, you're starting to getting close to what the pay to participate.
Well, I'm not talking two or three, but you know, if you take 150 kids and put $20 extra into the fee, that's a fairly decent offset on a relatively low number. You know, anything we can do to sort of bridge that gap, I'm all for. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, is it worth it to do the math exercise now and figure out, let's say we did the $25-$100 fee split. Is it worth it to do the math exercise for Monday to see what those numbers would come out to be?
No, it just, going back to the original report, what was put out by Mr. Kaplan, it really is the direction of the board to say, this is where we would like to see the model. Either a flat fee per activity or for the year, or continue with a percentage model that we currently have and raise the percentage. Everything else, the administrators and I can work out the details.
I think the flat fee, I mean, personally, I think the flat fee is easier. From what we're hearing from the administrators, the percentage of the actual cost is a nightmare administratively.
All right, so how about this? Why don't we target subsidizing 50% of this through ourselves and trying to pick up the rest through a flat fee, and let's see where the flat fee number comes out to be.
If the
number is too high, then we may have to change the model. But we got $65,000. Let's assume the district puts in the 32. Take the other 32, divide it by the estimated number of participants, and let's see what the fee looks like.
And
I agree. If it's $300, then we haven't accomplished anything.
And
but let's just see where we are.
It's about $215, Mark.
Hmm?
It's about $215.
Yeah, that's probably a little high.
Right.
But we don't really know how many kids are participating.
Well, I'm assuming 150 for some increased participation on a fee.
Yeah, my swag was around there. I don't know.
I don't think we should use the current participation numbers as our baseline.
That's why I'm pushing up for about another 25, 30% on a fee basis. You'll probably get better.
I think it's a very simple task, coach, to run a program. How many students do you normally keep to run a program? That's an easy set of numbers to get, because I think you'll find the numbers will increase is the first thing. And then secondly, when we run the numbers, I think there should be a flat fee for people who are participating in sports, which is going to be a higher cost to the district. And then for the extracurricular after school activities that are non-athletics, we need to come up with a fee for that too.
Right,
because $100 for...
That's what Rachel said.
Yeah, this is Rachel.
Right.
100,
right. But I just want to make sure that we don't take this aggregate number and it's one flat fee of $100, let's say it comes out to, and then the kids who are just doing some sort of art club or speech and debate or something where the actual cost of the district isn't high, that they're not footing a $100 expense.
Right, but I think Garden Club is like $20. So I think Rachel's suggestion of $100 and $25 for extracurricular activity seems to be pretty fair.
So let's see
I just
want to
make sure that we're thinking that way and not going one large cost.
But
we're
back, to a budgeting question between now and Monday, if this board decides we want to go with a 50% funding model, we'd have to move the money around and put another $17,000-ish in there, and that gives us the rest of the summer to decide
where it comes
exactly
from.
How to implement it.
Agreed.
That is true, but I think it would be a very good idea for us to go forward to say to the community, next year we're going to have this flat fee. I think, like Mark said, to have everybody's kind of sits in the wings and wonders, gee, how much is it going to cost to have lacrosse? How much is soccer going to cost me in the fall? Nobody knows what that is. And I think that would help the participation numbers if they know it sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can have Mr. Del Sordi come up with those numbers to say, if we use this rough flat fee number, we're going to come this close to 50%. I think it makes...
Before we commit to the public the flat fee, let's commit that we'll target 50%.
Right.
That's what we're going to do. We don't know if we can achieve a flat fee. The fee may be too high, that it may be higher than what some of the sports today cost. So we can't promise a flat fee. We may have to go back to a sport-by-sport fee, but the fees will drop. The only thing we can promise to the public is we will put in the extra 16 and go to 50%. We will attempt a flat fee. The numbers may not work.
Well, we
you
said
can't
that.
Make that promise.
But we said that.
But
we
you
said
just said you're going to tell the public that we're
no,
going to
I
flat
said that.
Fee.
We're going to, that's why we're going to ask Mr. Del Sordi for Monday to have those numbers
okay.
for us to see how close we can
okay.
come to the 50% on Monday.
All right.
To see if that's possible.
Okay.
As opposed to waiting for the summer.
Okay.
Through the summer. That's what I said. We don't
all
know
right,
if that's going to work. If it
okay.
works out to be far too low, then we're going to have to come up with some other plan.
All right. Well, the other plan is sport by sport, but with
right, but we're
fees.
Trying to move away from that because administratively we have these $8 checks
agree.
Floating around.
Sure. Let's see if we can get there. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
all right, so
the bottom line is we need to come up with another 25% of the estimated 65. That's and Kevin, if you can come up with the participation numbers from previous years. I remember asking Pat to ask Ms. Woolley to keep track of that. I don't know if we did or we didn't, to keep track of those numbers, because we were anticipating that someday we'd be sitting here and we'd want those numbers.
Right,
I don't,
so
I don't know if
back,
we did it or not.
So we actually want to go back 2 and 3 years to
right.
see what those numbers were, because our
yeah.
general feeling is that sentiment is that participation went down over the past year.
Well, this year I think all the sports did run so far, didn't they? Did we lose
no,
any
they
sports?
Girls lacrosse. Would
girls lacrosse,
run.
Okay.
But I think we have to go prior to 2 years because wasn't the referendum, when was the referendum?
Not last year.
The year
not
of 2009, 2010?
Yeah. We have to go before that to see what the participation
right.
is.
I wonder if we have the data, but we haven't looked.
We've done this before. We did.
Yeah, we have
yeah.
those numbers
yeah,
going forward, and we have numbers for
mm-hmm.
last year.
Yeah.
I'll
okay.
check on what's been happening for this year.
All right.
All right, so we're going with 50%. We're asking the administration to find 50% funding. And then in addition to that, we're looking at what it would cost for a flat fee for
right.
sports and also for clubs and other
okay.
activities. Okay.
Agreed.
And we could hopefully put that into the budget on Monday night.
Good.